What's up, Bitcoiners? Today's show is brought to you by Ledin.io. Ledin is a secure, simple, and easy-to-use platform for managing and growing your digital wealth. Get started earning interest now on your Bitcoin and USDC with the industry's best rates at 6.1% APY on your first two BTC and 8.5% for all your USDC. Or use your Bitcoin as collateral with Ledin loans to get quick access to dollars or double your Bitcoin savings with the popular B2X loan. Ledin, that's LEDN.io, is the first digital asset lender with the transparency and security of a formal proof of reserves attestation, raising the bar for transparency in the industry. I just started using Ledin this summer, and I have loved the service, and I believe you will too. Learn more, sign up, and use my link at start.ledin.io/Bitcoin Matrix for $25 free in USDC when you take out your first Ledin loan. And now, let's enter the Bitcoin Matrix with heavyweight contender Adam Kovnosky, aka Babyface, where we talk about Bitcoin, boxing, Brooklyn, and proving yourself to yourself before becoming the final boss.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Adam Kovnosky, aka Babyface, emigrated from Poland with his family to America at the age of 7. Settling in the predominantly Polish neighborhood of Greenpoint, Brooklyn, Adam's parents worked long shifts trying to make ends meet so their three children could have a better future. To pass idle time, Adam joined a karate program, but it wasn't until 1999 when Polish star Andrew Golota fought Michael Grant that Adam fell in love with boxing. Adam started boxing to stay in shape. Adam eventually joined the legendary Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn, winning the super heavyweight New York Daily News Golden Gloves in 2006 and 2009. Babyface turned pro in October of 2009, knocking out his first opponent in just 22 seconds of the first round. After winning his first four bouts, Babyface suffered an accident in which he fractured his left hand and put his career on hold for 2 years. Ready to keep advancing, Adam went to camp with Vladimir Klitschko as a sparring partner, but after tearing his left bicep, he was sidelined for another year. Making his return after 3 years, Adam focused on becoming the first Polish-American world champion boxer. He racked up 2 wins and signed with boxing's top manager, Al Heyman. With the support of his team, family, and fans, Babyface is ready to make his American dream come true. Adam Kovnosky, aka Babyface, welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. I'm super excited to talk to you. I'd love to just kind of dive into, you know, what it was like moving here from Poland. I guess you were around 7 years old. And what it was like growing up in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I'm from Long Island, New York. Brooklyn's one of my favorite places on earth. I went into Greenpoint a lot as a young adult, but I know Greenpoint's changed a lot. I just kind of would love to hear what it was like growing up there.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. I mean, it was a little Poland. You could do everything, take care of everything in Polish. My dad still doesn't speak English. He first was in a bakery, so he didn't really need no English to get by. You know, like a lot of agencies, Polish bakery stores, Polish liquor stores, Polish banks. So it was a little Poland. You could do everything in Polish.
Yeah. That must have been awesome. But so did that make the transition a lot easier into America, I'm guessing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I had family here too, so it was smooth, but also hard. I mean, I was 7, so I had some friends back in Poland where you missed them, and it was something totally new.
Yeah. What was the reason you guys moved from Poland to America?
We come from Wałbrzych, Poland, so it's like a little town of 60,000 people in northeast part of Poland. So it's kind of a big deal moving to New York City, which holds as much millions of people, you know. Right. So it was a big change. But jobs, you know, definitely my parents wanted to give me and my brothers a better life, a better future, and that's why they decided to move.
Yeah. How'd you get involved in boxing?
So my cousins moved here, and we always, I mean, they're older than me, so they always try how to fight, and grow up in Brooklyn, you always gotta, you know, stick up for yourself. And I finally found a gym. So my cousins took me, I started going, and I fell in love with it.
Was it first out of self-defense? Were you getting into fights outside of the gym?
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed fighting, and definitely if I could make money off it, why not? And then yeah. Andrew Galata too, watching him fight was huge, you know? I mean, everybody in the Greenpoint, you know, basically had a common job of a typical blue-collar worker, you know? And he was Andrew Galata that showed you that that was Polish like me, you could do something else rather than a typical blue-collar job.
Yeah. When did you realize you enjoyed fighting? I saw one of your quotes. I mean, you love punching people in the face. When did you realize that? And was there sort of, when did you realize you were good at it?
I don't know. I guess trying to get better, you know, but at a young age, I remember I don't like remember it, but my cousins always tell me a story where I punched one of my cousins in the face, and he was like, 8 years older than me. So I was 7, he was 15, and I chipped his tooth. So it was like always, I guess, in my blood that I enjoyed it. I remember like I said before, my cousin teaches you how to fight, and also fighting my my grandfather also. So it was something I always enjoyed to do.
Yeah. How old were you when you started going to like Gleason's gym? And isn't it all the way across town?
I was 16. So I went to Abraham Lincoln High School, and I had the Greenpoint, so it was a long ride. So I took the G train and the F train, and Link and Gleason's gym was right off the F train. So I would go to school in the mornings, and after school I would go straight to the gym. And that was a nice routine for me, you know, just keep me out of trouble and stay in the gym.
Yeah, how did that come about? Do you get selected to go to Gleason's gym? Do you have to kind of like maybe spar or fight your way in? And yeah,
I don't know, you just it changes a lot now. It's like more white collar gym, but before it was like a lot of good fighters, a lot of gold glove champions, and that was a gym you want to sign up to. So that's the gym I decided to go to, and I was lucky enough, you know, to form like with the good trainers, with Leon Taylor, Country Tomo. A blimp, they all, you know, told me the good basics, and I was able to win the golden gloves, and I turned pro, you know.
Yeah, when you started going to Gleason's, though, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, at 16, were you sort of at that point committed to trying to make a career out of this? Because I'm wondering, like, at 16, maybe you could have played football after school and hung out locally, and you know, had a little, you know, I mean, it's quite the commitment. You know, to kind of get on that train ride, go over to, you know, the other side of town, spend money to get there. You know, so I'm kind of wondering what your mindset was like at that point. Was it?
Yeah, it was something I always wanted to do. And especially like, so I won the gloves at 16. I mean, I just turned 17. So I won the gloves at just being in boxing for a couple of years. And I was like, okay, I could actually make this work. And become a great fighter, and luckily kind of panned out for me, and I'm able to make a career and I make some money out of it.
Yeah. What was it like dealing with injuries and setbacks?
Yeah, it was horrible, you know, staying motivating, seeing if I'll be able to come back and continue doing it. I mean, it was definitely tough, but you know, I weathered the storm. It's kind of like the Bitcoin price, you know, it goes up and it drops down, it goes back up. So I guess my career is similar to the price of Bitcoin going up and down. But in the long run, you've got to stay with it. Keep doing hard work, and eventually you will pan out.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about is the lifestyle of a boxer very low time preference? I mean, maybe you get to fight once a year or maybe once every other year sometimes. you deal with injuries and setbacks. I know right now you're dealing with, you know, the pandemic setback essentially. How is that for mentally dealing with that? Only getting to maybe, you know, go to Showtime so often, but having to have extended periods of training, or just the mindset of staying in the game.
It's definitely tough. You know, you gotta be headstrong. I mean, the fight was pushed back on several occasions due to a pandemic. It sucks because coming off my first career loss. So it's definitely tough. But now it's supposed to be happening. The rematch happened on October 9th. So hopefully I'll get to settle my score, get the win, go back in the win column, and hopefully get a title shot in next year.
Yeah. I just watched the fight recently. I enjoyed it immensely. I haven't enjoyed boxing that much since, you know, Tyson. I was thrilled to bits. I threw it on YouTube, and I was just instantly, I was like, this is going to be a match. And it was a brawl the whole time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought you were kicking ass the whole time. The announcers were behind you. It was really interesting kind of getting to see your fighting style. Can you kind of describe how you approach the game of boxing?
Yeah, I like to fight. So I like to go forward and try to give the fans a good fight where they can't even seats, you know. I like to be very entertaining to a lot of punches, go for a knockout. And so the first 20 fights, I was able to make that work. My last fight, I caught with a shot coming in. I thought I had him, but he was a good veteran. He was, very composed, and he caught me with a shot coming in. And luckily, I was in in a territory where I never found myself. So instead of taking a step back, recuperating, back at him, and then he caught me again and put me on behind. I got up, and then he just threw a lot of punches, and the referee stopped it. So it was definitely a learning experience, just to stay more relaxed and composed. But that's the way I like to fight. Yeah, just throw a lot of shots and try to give the fans the money's worth.
Yeah, I was watching. They were saying that you average around like 75 punches a round. The normal heavyweight average is like 45.
Yeah, so me and Chris Arriola, we fought 2 years ago, and he broke the world record for most punches thrown in a fight. Yeah, so it was a fun night.
Yeah, and they were also saying you're known for having a really solid chin and for being able to go 12 rounds and punch the whole time. And what was really interesting, that was an interesting dynamic of that punch. At times, I think he was giving you the best he got, and you just kept going through it. And that had to be so. I saw him going back to the corner sometimes. He must have been so demoralized, at times. And then I kind of wonder what it's like to deal with in your sport. Like, there is that moment where if you make a mistake, you can get caught off guard, and things can go very differently very quickly.
Right. Yeah, so one punch, especially in the heavyweight division, changes everything. That happened that night. You know, I got caught with a good right hand, and that's what it is. You know, it sucks, but it's a learning experience. You got to take it and come back stronger. Luckily, a good management team, they were able to get me a rematch, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, I think that's a boss move. I'm spelling that BAWSE. I really like your approach and attitude about this. You're like, I got to go through this guy again for it to be proven.
Right. My goal is to be the first Polish-born heavyweight champion in the world. So in order to accomplish that, I feel I got to beat this guy. And if I can't do that, how will the fans and everybody else feel about me competing with the top guys like, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, or Deontay Wilder, So I think I got to beat this guy, and just can't wait to do it again.
Me too, man. I think I might fly out to Vegas to watch it. It's so exciting. Cool. I can't wait to watch you knock him out. So one thing I also noticed was that, there was a lot of commentary about your weight. You look like really tight right now. You look probably in the best shape you've been in a long time, I'm guessing. I know you've been focused on that. And how is it to deal with sort of like, You seem to be very cognizant of the fans' mentality and the fans' approach, and you kind of want to give your fans the best show, and it seems very important to you, this issue.
Yeah, I'm chubby, but it's something I got to work on. I was always the fat kid. So it's, I mean, I work hard. I mean, like, with the amount of punch I throw, like, the shape is there. It's just, I guess I'm built a little bit different. Plus, my diet isn't the best, especially in between fights. Mm. Once I have a fight coming up, I really, you know, cut out all the unnecessary stuff, the sugars and stuff, and just focus on the lean proteins and then the carbs, just to have energy and just to get in the best shape.
What is your
between fights? I eat really too much bad food, you know.
Yeah, and that's part of one of the things that must be really hard about your career and lifestyle is managing, I guess, that in between time. What is your training schedule like in between fights, especially as maybe you ramp up to fight day?
So we wake up early, you go running, some cardio, eat breakfast, get a couple of hours, go to a boxing gym, come back home, eat lunch, relax, and then I'll do some strength work. Yeah, and that's basically five days a week. Saturday is just the cardio day, and Sunday's off.
Right. Yeah. And what kind of period is that for? Is that like 2 months? Is that 3 months? Is that 9 or 12 months? I mean,
yeah, this past year it was probably like nonstop because the fight kept getting pushed back. So I've been doing it for a while. It's been, you know, like mentally hard, but you just gotta get strong. I mean, I'm very set on winning this fight, and so it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. What's it been like fighting in Brooklyn in front of your hometown?
Awesome, amazing. I think I have one of the best fans in boxing, if not the best. They always come out and support me. So it's been great, you know. Always like the red, it's a big sea of red, the red shirts, the baby face shirts. So it's awesome. I mean, my next fight will be in Vegas, so I know a lot of people will come down there, but I can't wait to hopefully get this one and then come back to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Are you excited to fight in Vegas? Have you ever fought out there?
First time. I've been there and had like a little camp over there before, but never fought there. So I'm also excited.
Yeah. But also, have you ever fought people you've trained with before or been friends with?
In the amateurs, yes. Professionally, no.
In the professional world, in your opinion, is it very lone wolf and everyone's on their own? Or does anyone ever socialize or congregate?
I mean, I have a lot of friends in the heavyweight division, but it's mostly you. It's the sport, so it's basically no real beef. But sometimes you just you don't like people. But I'm pretty cool with everybody, so it's no big issues. And then you spar together, train together, so you got to be friends with everybody, help each other out. And then you know it's like soccer and stuff, so it's just trying to compete and provide for your family. So. Is what it is, you know.
Right. Do you manufacture maybe beef in your mind before a fight or anything of that sort to kind of get in a mindset?
Maybe when I was younger. Now, not really. You know, just I want to destroy the guy and make sure I knock him out, beat him up, and what's the next one?
Right. How has you've been being a father now impacted your career and your mindset?
Life changing, definitely tough. It's a lot of work, so it's definitely time consuming. But it's the greatest joy in the world. I mean, seeing my son smile gives you so much extra energy and motivation. Now with the second baby on the way, I just can't wait to see him. And hopefully, they could be proud of dad. You know, hopefully, win the title. You know.
Yeah. Let's say when you win the title. And you're the first heavyweight Polish-American boxing champion of the world. Would you want your son to grow up and become the second? Or is it more you box so he wouldn't have to box?
Whatever he wants to do, you know, I'm into Bitcoin, so I really like the of people being free and having their own choice, you know, doing what they want. So whatever he wants to do, I'll be there 100% supporting him and helping him accomplish his dreams. If it will be boxing, awesome. Soccer, that'll be cool too. Whatever. I'll be a footer or a lawyer, whatever it is. You know, I'll be there. Have his back 100%.
Awesome. From what I gather, you've been in Bitcoin for a while. I've seen interviews back in 2019, you're talking about it. So when did you discover Bitcoin and when did it become meaningful to you?
I got into, first got into crypto. I heard Andreas speak with Joe Rogan. So it was like before the first bull run, I guess, the real big bull. Yeah, so I didn't make enough money to buy Bitcoin. I didn't really understand that well, but I wanted to get my feet wet. So I was able to buy Ethereum for a good price. So that's where I first got my first feet wet with Ethereum. And then, I don't know, like I got so lucky and I sold at the top. So I sold it off. I had also some work around the house to do. So I was like, okay, cool. I made some money. Let's get out of it. Then up to $3,000. And Jack Dorsey came on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I was like, oh, wow, this is coming back. Let me study it more. I met some Bitcoiners in New York City. So that's pretty cool. And I got back into it. You know, I bought some more. And I just kept stacking ever since.
Yeah. How do you think has Bitcoin changed you?
I always loved the idea of what it's still for, where it's like money where nobody really has control of it. So and just I naturally gravitated to it, you know. I go to Poland often. It's like I got to change my dollars to put the Polish złoty, which is a headache. Why can't they be like one currency? I mean, just like the idea of it, and then like with everybody putting so much money, I think it just the whole mindset behind what it stands for is pretty cool. It's only 21 million. Everybody has to be accountable of how much they own, where they keep it. It just makes you be responsible for your money, you know, for your Bitcoin. Yeah.
Do you think being a boxer influences how you think about money in terms of one, you know, your body's taking physical abuse for you to earn this money and there's risk involved in that. And, you know, two, you have only, you know, so many years of fighting. Even if you fight till you're 55, like maybe George Foreman, you know, you might not be fighting at 75.
Right. So it's tough. And then like you hear so many stories of fighters losing all their money. So it's tough. And like the best, you know, like way to keep your money is through investing, right? And invest in the S&P 500 fund, which is probably the safest way to do it. But then you put in money that you worked hard for in CEO's hands, he'll do the right thing. Where Bitcoin, it's like, well, you earn this money, you have to keep it, and it won't go down. You know, it's inflation proof, supposedly. So, you know, or the theory behind it. Or so I like the idea, you know, that all the money I earn now, I'll be able to keep it and it won't lose its value like the US dollar does. So that's really cool. And I'm a big supporter of it, you know, hopefully. And it has a great people. Like, a lot of Bitcoiners, they do their like due diligence. They make sure what they say is true. And if you say the wrong thing, man, they go at you.
Yeah. Does it ever come up with friends and family and you know, your peers in boxing?
Yeah, they ask. But they usually ask about shitcoin. So it's really aggravating. I mean, they're trying to make a quick buck, which I guess I try to do. And I love the meme where it's like Bitcoin, or like Ethereum, shitcoins, and then it's like the Bitcoin of the highest thing you could achieve, which is, I think, that's what's the goal. I finally understood that after 5 or 6 years. Like, okay, it's just Bitcoin, you know?
Right.
Sure. So when they ask, I'm like, I only own Bitcoin, and that's what I hold, and that's why I believe in right now.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite boxers that, I mean, yeah.
Growing up, it was Andrew Lada, Mike Tyson. Then being as an amateur, I really liked Floyd Mayweather because that was the guy on top when I came over. Manny Pacquiao, Miguel Cotto, and right now, Canelo Alvarez is doing a great job. El Spence, so there's a lot of good guys, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to. What do you make of Floyd Mayweather's career?
Incredible! All the money he made and being able to stay so dedicated and work so hard. it's truly amazing. I mean, seeing like going through it right now and like being, you know, being comfortable, and so you still gotta work hard. And him being, he was a lot more comfortable. You know, he had so much money, and he still was able to put in that work. I'm like, oh wow, this he really was different.
Do you think pound for pound he was the best ever?
Hard to say, but he was definitely up there. I mean, he was a very good fighter. I mean, he was boxing wise, not to get hit. Business wise, most definitely. I mean, obviously, he had a great manager with Al Heyman working behind the scenes. But yeah, he was good. I probably wouldn't say the best ever, but he was definitely a good fighter.
What did you make of the Manny Pacquiao fight?
I wish it was done a little bit sooner, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I think there was, yeah, so like the injury was a little bit the shoulder, right? So some question marks, but he won, you know. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's kind of like from that point on, and even with some of the, what do you think of the YouTube fighters now? And even, you know, Floyd fighting, say, Conor McGregor or something like that.
As a boxer, and knowing all the hard work I did through all these years, and then knowing that like, Jake Paul has two fights and is making $10 million a fight, it's like, what the F, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how is this possible? So it's really aggravating. But at the same time, it gives you like, dude, you're slacking. This guy is making all this money being a YouTuber. You should be doing this. You should be putting out videos. You should be on Instagram, getting your name out there more. And it just gives you another way to promote yourself and be a better fighter. So you can't really hate on them for doing that kind of work. I mean, they're just giving you a different model for it, you know? And this is what it is. I mean, before, like, you really, the only thing you had was TV to promote yourself, right? Like, Mayweather was huge on the 24/7 show on HBO. And now, you have YouTube, which people watch 24, you know, nonstop. You just gotta put out new content, and it's, I guess, like a kind of new world that that we live in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like those fights. One of them, I felt they were like kind of fake ass fights and just almost staged. And when I was watching you guys fight, that's what drew me back in. I was like, these guys are really fighting. Like they're really fighting their hardest, and they're going at it. And, you know, from the Floyd fight with the timing with Manny and the shoulder, and it just seemed like his whole career, I shouldn't say his whole career, because I didn't study his whole career, but it seemed like a lot of the career that I was aware of, it just seemed like he was always skirting the toughest fight, or there was never the toughest opponent for him. And I don't want to talk about Floyd, but it's just more like, it's very interesting. Even when I stopped watching boxing kind of after Tyson, it was around when MMA really became popular. And I wasn't into the early MMA, and I'm not a big MMA guy now, but it seems like that's taken a lot of the place of the sexiness of boxing. And I'm kind of curious what you think of the MMA and the future of boxing in relation to maybe MMA. Will it ever be sort of as big as it was maybe 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
It's two different sports, right? So you have one's boxing, one's mixed martial arts. So it's two different stuff. Definitely, I have a lot of friends that are in MMA, so it's a tough sport, but it's apples and oranges. It's two different.
Totally.
It's kind of like lingos, is both fighting, but it has different, you know, different fans. And then everybody will choose, I put in a free market, whatever you like doing, you know? And then like Jake Paul, even though these YouTuber guys, they show you that your boxing is still the place where you can make the most money, and it's not really run by one company. Where like in the MMA, you only have the UFC, right? Being like the biggest guy out there, and that's where everybody fights. When boxing, it's more of you. You are the product. You are the promoter. Like, you're the fighter. Mm-hmm. And the model that Mayweather actually made, like, showed like you are the top product, not the company. Like, you are the company, which is cool, you know. And I like that aspect of boxing a lot more. But I think if great fights get made, I mean, it would draw boxing back to
right. I agree.
To the top.
Yeah.
I think one. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, just through Bitcoin, I've been exposed to like yourself, and I got really excited about boxing again. And I think, you know, I started thinking a little bit more about how boxing is very strategic, and it's two guys going at it in a very different way than MMA, and, you know, yeah, they're completely different sports. Do you ever toss around the idea of one day competing in MMA?
No way. I'm like 0-22 against my friends that wrestle, and they're like 155 pounds. So like half my size, and they always choke me out. So it's a different sport.
Do you ever learn from them things that would help you in boxing, even though they're very different sports?
More kickboxing stuff, like the way they move and stuff, like the clinches and stuff. We practice that sometimes. But that's about it. Clinches like inside and stuff, definitely like the way you move your hips. So yeah, here and there, you could definitely pick up a thing or two.
Yeah. One thing I noticed when you were, you know, going at it with Hellacious, and you guys were being close, and there was a lot of times where you would just be throwing a lot of body punches. And sometimes, you know, I was wondering, like, you know, how much wear and tear is that putting on a boxer? I mean, I'm sure you've taken a lot of these body punches. You know, how much does that add up?
Yeah, it's putting money in the bank, you know. Round after round. Definitely, like, towards the end, it takes a lot of you, you know. Those punches add up, and I think he was very tired, like towards the fourth round. I thought I had him, you know, but obviously had like a little bit left, and but it was catching up, you know, like the body shots were definitely doing their part, and I got him tired. So I'll definitely try to go back to his body in the rematch.
Do you live to be in the ring? You know, in terms of like, I played sports, the sports, you know, it's a game time. It's super exciting. And it just boggles my mind that boxers only get to go into game time maybe every 3 months, maybe every 6 months.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely different, but it's tough though. So even like the NFL, you have 16 games, 16 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's 4 months, right? Five maybe. So it's a lot, but like we also spar a lot. So I spar 3 times a week, like before a fight. So it's a lot of sparring rounds. We do maybe like 160 rounds sparring. So it's like fighting 10 times throughout the last 12 weeks. So it's definitely it's a lot of punishment.
Do you enjoy the sparring almost as much as game time and the live fights?
Yeah, but the live fights are totally different. You know, you get the fans, the atmosphere. It's definitely much more exciting.
Before the fight, are you dealing with a lot of distractions? Is it? I mean, maybe you're just like, I ain't gonna deal with that, or is there a lot going on? I noticed there's celebrities in the audience. It's on ESPN. Yeah. This is big time,
right? Yeah, so last fight, definitely. I mean, I think I was a lot more focused on a lot of stuff outside the ring than being in the ring and taking care of my job. I was a big favorite. Also had a lot of new responsibilities with the newborn. So like a lot of new stuff just added up, and then and he just caught me a good shot, so it kind of sucks, but... it's a learning experience, you know. I mean, that's why we live to learn, make sure we don't repeat those mistakes. And I'm just glad that I was able to get a rematch.
Yeah, what's it like when you enter the ring, and what's going through your mind maybe between rounds?
You just focus, you know. I mean, it's like a matrix. It's just going on. You don't really. You're in a trance. You're in the zone. Mm-hmm. You just go with the flow.
Right. Are there different kind of between rounds kind of experiences where depending on where you are in the fight, maybe your mindset's different? I just noticed like with the other guy with Hellacious, like it looked like between rounds he looked defeated, and I was like worried about him between rounds. He didn't look like he was in a positive state of mind. But I'm kind of curious, and I'm not talking about that fight in particular, but like, are some rounds where you're thinking a lot about strategies in between rounds, or sometimes you're, like you're saying, you're just in a trance. Is some rounds, are you thinking like, oh, I want to catch my breath?
Yeah, so definitely it's like use your cornerman and they see a better view because you're from the outside. Like, yo, Adam, he drops his hand. So, or you're falling in a little bit too much, which I did. So use a double jab coming up to close the distance a little bit and give you these little pointers that you got to make sure you do it in the following round.
Right.
I remember I had a fight with Charles Martin, and I was winning the whole fight. And like in the seventh, eighth round, just kind of like started spacing out and stuff. And my trainer was like, yo, Adam, wake up. Like, he yelled at me. Yeah, he yelled at me. Like, yo, get the fuck out of here. Stay focused. You have two rounds left. You lose the fight right now. I mean, you win the fight, but you lost the last two rounds. Like, you know, I was able to come back and nice turn around. I got the win, but like he just snapped you out of it.
How long is that? Has he been your corner man?
Good 6 years.
Yeah, what's that relationship like?
Oh, it's great. I mean, Keith Trimble is probably one of the best trainers, underage trainers in boxing. I feel he's like a really solid dude, you know.
Yeah,
I'm so happy. He's in my corner.
Yeah, you seem to have the best team behind you, from the Heyman and the ability to get the fights you're asking for, and for them to kind of back you on that, and then you got the best corner guy and the best trainer. It's really interesting. How much is boxing like a team sport from that respect? You know, I mean, I would put it all on the individual. But better coaching helps.
Right. I mean, it is. Even though at the end of the day, it's my job to go in there and finish do the job well done. You know, finish the job. But they prepare you. They make sure they get you the right opponents. They get that you well prepared for the fight. It's definitely a team effort. From even like having a PT between fights, for like physical therapy. It's the strength conditioning work with they do with Chris, so it's definitely it's a whole team effort, and I just gotta perform on fight day.
Yeah, so exciting. I'm kind of curious. Growing up in Greenpoint, was 9/11? Were you there that day?
Yeah, I was at school.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, it's one of those days where you will never forget it. It's like, I remember it was yesterday, we were in class, and the teacher was like, oh yeah, a building hit the World Trade Center. Nothing really happened, but a building flew, a plane flew to the building. They tried to keep us calm, and then we all went to the auditorium, and then the parents started picking up everybody, it was crazy. And on the way back home, you see all the smoke, and it was just nuts, especially the next couple of months.
Right. Yeah. I was there that day too. And you've left Brooklyn, it seems like, now on Long Island.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that move like? Was it just time to get out of the city kind of thing, or was it about training and boxing?
Training and boxing. I mean, and definitely just like buying a house and selling down. I mean, my coach is in Belmore.
Mm.
So I train at Belmore Kickboxing Academy. So I live in like South Huntington area. So it's much closer than traveling. The traffic sucks in New York and it's just getting worse. So definitely want to move out to suburbs and stay more relaxed.
Yeah. That's the gym under the train tracks in Belmore, right? Under the Long Island Railroad? Is that where it is?
It's on Merrick Road. So
Merrick. Yeah, a little south of the train. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because I grew up like maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes from Belmore.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah.
But my whole life, I grew up on Long Island trying to fight my way into Brooklyn. My dad, born in Brooklyn, spent his whole life trying to get out of Brooklyn, to go to Long Island.
Yeah, I fantasize about going back, but... I think just fantasies, of growing up there and having all those great memories of being raised there and stuff. But definitely I feel like the suburb life is better for the kids, you know.
Yeah,
having to play lacrosse, schools and stuff.
Nah, I hear you. It's still pretty wild. I just think that you kind of have a storybook, you know, background with the Brooklyn thing and Gleason's. I can't think about all the history of the great boxers have gone through there. And I can't wait for you to kick ass in Vegas. I can't tell you how excited. You know, I kind of just in terms of, you know, where are you kind of thinking about, like, you know, final stages of preparation and getting ready for the fight?
Yeah, so it's probably to stay local in New York, train hard. We still have like 10 weeks left, 9 weeks. So right now, you know, step up the tempo and just get in the best shape we could and just get it, you know, do what I didn't do a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. I mean, it's been hurting me a lot going to sleep every night knowing that I lost my last fight.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, you're even kind of talking a little bit about how, you know, you lost that fight 1 week before kind of COVID shut the world down. And there was really maybe nobody was even going to talk to you about what you were going through personally because everybody's mind was on the other stuff.
Right. Yes. That sucked a lot. So, yeah, like you felt like, yo, where is everybody? Like, you know, nobody cares about you. But then that's how I felt, like, especially in the first half of the year. I'm like, yo, but then it's like, then like right now, like recently, I'm like, yo, everybody was going through tough shit. Like the whole world was locked down. Nobody knew what's going on. So yeah, everybody was scared. And I mean, it just happened that way. I mean, luckily, my wife and my kid were there. So, kept me like a little bit, composed and sane and, got to spend a lot of time with my kid, like, and have watched him grow up, you know, cause take his first steps, his first words. So it's been, curse and a blessing over the last year and a half.
Yeah. What do you think Bitcoin will do for our children and the future?
Yeah, they'll be great, you know. Now, dealing with El Salvador making it a legal tender, which is pretty cool. I'm going to have a Bitcoin logo on my shorts for my next
fight. Oh, really?
It's pretty cool. Yeah. So, I can't wait to see what it does. I mean, I know the government's trying to kind of mess up with that right now with that new bill, but... hopefully they figure it out and USA is known for a free world and we're the top of innovating stuff. So they should definitely do stuff to make it better, not worse, you know, make it easier, not harder.
Yeah, man. I'm so pumped. I can't wait for the fight in Vegas. Like I said before, I might have to fly out there, especially now that you're going to be wearing the B on your shorts, man. That's so dope.
Yeah. Okay. The picture, but yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, definitely. And then like what we could do as fighters, you know, to there's like a, I remember I got like a lot of tipping, right? There was like a tipping for Lightning network, right? So it was pretty cool. Like, see if we, like, instead of like actually having
yeah, there it is. I see. Oh, there you go. Sweet, man. That's so sweet. That's the only symbol on there. That's dope. So. Good on you, man. That's really awesome. I'm really pumped. Like I said, I watched, I'm a super fan now. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'll leave it to you for any parting words and definitely let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, so on Twitter, Instagram, AK Babyface. Yeah, watch out, October 9th, we're back in the ring. Hopefully we get some business, get Travis Hernandez. And can't wait to be back in there.
Yeah, man, you're going to put him in checkmate just like Bitcoin did Congress this week. So, let's go. So dope, man. Thank you so much. It's been so awesome.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Adam Kovnasky on Bitcoin, boxing, growing up in Brooklyn, and taking care of some unfinished business right here on the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Ledin.io. Ledin is a secure, simple, and easy-to-use platform for managing and growing your digital wealth. Ledin is the first digital asset lender with transparency and security of a formal proof of reserves attestation, raising the bar in the space. If you want to see what it's all about, head over to start.ledin.io/Bitcoin Matrix and get $25 free in USDC when you take out your first Ledin loan. I'm excited to learn and share more with you about Ledin.io going forward. And thank you for listening. It means a lot. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and write a review so you don't miss out on any upcoming fresh and dope shows. Stack stats, stay humble, and keep standing up for yourself. This is Cedric. Peace.